Coming up on this week's book show, James Patterson is the world's best-selling author, the creator of Alex Cross. He joins us this week to discuss his three latest books, The Last Days of Christmas, Deadly Cross, and NYPD Red 6. There may be more titles from the time you hear this promo to listening to the actual program. James Patterson on this week's book show. Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. James Patterson is the world's best-selling author. The creator of Alex Cross, he's produced more enduring fictional heroes than any other novelist alive. He joins us this week to discuss his three latest books. The Last Days of John Lennon is the amazing story of Lennon's life and career from his earliest days and first songs up to the last seconds of his life. The book is a true crime drama about two men who changed history, one whose indelible songs enliven our world to this day, and the other who ended the beautiful music with five pulls of a trigger. In Deadly Cross, the murder of a glamorous DC socialite becomes Alex Cross's deadliest case since Along Came a Spider, and Detective Kylie MacDonald of NYPD Red returns in the latest NYPD Red 6. We have lots to discuss in a Zoom conversation as part of a Northshire Bookstore off-the-shelf event. It is a great pleasure to welcome James Patterson to this week's book show. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
It's wonderful to have you here. It's always good to talk to you. How does it feel to have conquered the world?
I don't think about any of that, honestly. Lennon... he made that famous comment about being more famous than Jesus. And I think what he was saying was, this is absurd that you're putting a rock group on a pedestal the way you are. And it's crazy. And because I think he really was sort of a person of the people and very down to earth. And he knew that the fame was kind of insane. And, in a similar vein, a somewhat similar vein, one of the newspapers did a thing, and I was more famous in England than Shakespeare, and I feel the same way about that. How stupid are people? That's ridiculous. I mean, come on. You ever read any Shakespeare? You know, did you ever read my books? Big, you know, there's a big difference here. At any rate, I just don't have a big head about it. I don't think it's a big thing. And one of the things, you know, our son's 23 now, and he's always growing up. Yeah, my dad writes books. Big deal. It's fine. So I write books. Big deal.
Well, I want to get back to that process in a little bit, but let's go through the new titles if we can. Of course, sure. You mentioned The Last Days of John Lennon, which is the brand new book. This came out on the anniversary of Lennon's assassination. What brought you to the subject of John Lennon?
I think there are a lot of things. I mean, on a personal level, one, I mean, as a kid, back in 1964, I remember I was driving to high school, had some kids in the back, old Rambler, and the DJ came on and he said, there's this band and they're really big in England. They're not going to make it here, but I'll play a couple of songs, see what you think. And they played I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You. And we're in the car going, I don't know, man, that sounded pretty good to us. And by the end of the week, the two songs are number one and number two. So there's my first experience with the Beatles. In 1980, I was living in New York City. I was living on Central Park West. I was 9 blocks away from the Dakota. And I don't know where I heard it. It might have been on Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell, who announced it on the air. I don't remember how. I immediately walked up the street because it was so close, and there were already 100 or so people outside of the Dakota, which is a spooky building anyway. That's where they filmed Rosemary's Baby. And it was just one of those sad, numbing, you can't believe it happened. I think even more than, I mean, having gone through Kennedy's assassin, you know, JFK, and then Bobby, and then Martin Luther King, we sort of go, okay, it's political. Here you're like shooting this poet, you know, rock personalities. Why? It just seems so insane. So this whole thing is very personal to me. Right now, which is really the weirdest thing of all in some ways, I'm in Florida. There is a bridge that connects my house to the house next door, which was owned by John and Yoko. They were refurbishing it in 1980 when he was shot. And they planned to live here, whatever, half the year, whatever. You hear it in a lot of the Beatles songs, sun, 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 because right. I think he like, you know, so much rain in England and London that I think there's something about the sun, and he wanted to be in the sun down in Florida, and he was a sailor and all that stuff. So a lot of personal stuff. I also felt that on some level, I didn't love, there's been a lot of books written about them, but a lot of them are by rock journalists, and they want to keep a distance, and they want to, you know, what's the best album and what's the best song? And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to, you know, really make it very personal and very emotional and really dig in. And when I'm writing, a lot of times I'll write on the top of the chapter, be there. I want to be in the scene. I want my readers to be in the scene. I want them to feel Chapman. I want them to feel John. I want them. So what I tried to set out to do in the book is, one, you do the murder mystery. Two, and not necessarily in this order, tell people the story of the Beatles. And a lot of people don't know it. We think we do, but we really don't. They were babies when they started. I mean, when they went over to Germany to sort of polish their act, they weren't even called the Beatles. But Harrison was 16. I don't even know why his mom let him go, you know? and then the love story between John and Yoko, which at the time, a lot of people weren't comfortable with it. She was older. She didn't seem right for them, for him. In turn, you know, a lot of people felt that. And now the way we are, I think a lot of us, it's like, you know what? It's acceptable and cool. And they fit each other. And they were very much in love. So at any rate, all that stuff got me to try to do this book and do the best job that I could do.
So one of the things that I noticed in reading the book is that, and you just mentioned this, that it is fascinating by their babies. They're so young. Of course, at the beginning of the book, you establish the ages, but then as they achieve this incredible success, just unheard of success, you hear that they're 22 and 24 and 25, and that's just incredible to me of how much they achieved in such a short period of time.
Yeah, and they didn't spend much time in school. They just weren't ready, and nobody could be ready for what happened to them. You know, and one of the interesting things for me in terms of doing the book, and why the shooting was even more tragic, I think he had become much more of a complete human being in the last 4 or 5 years of his life. He was a serious dad. He was taking it seriously, especially with Sean. He was a cook. He was, you know, incredibly in love with Yoko. And he had just done the first album in 5 years with Double Fantasy. So boom, he was like, I don't know, fully human, more fully human than he maybe had ever been. And then to have this very sad occurrence in front of the Dakota.
When you were writing the book and when setting it up and laying it out, there you obviously, as you mentioned, you tell the story of the Beatles, and it is an interesting telling of their origin story, because you do bring us there. You bring us to the studio. You bring us to the frustration that the people around them had. You had their own frustrations, yeah, and of course their great successes. But interwoven in that, every once in a while, we hear the voice of Mark David Chapman himself, yeah, as to what is on his mind and what he's thinking and how he is moving towards that horrible night at the Dakota.
Right. And all of this is going to come tumbling down. Exactly.
Yes. And that is obviously where I think those of us who read you and love you know what you, that you're so good at that, of planting those moments just at the right time and getting us to the point of saying, okay, I'll stay up for another half hour. But I found it fascinating because it almost, those moments when we are in the mind of Mark David Chapman for a moment also very much parallel what's going on within the life of John Lennon, who is dealing with, as you said, assassinations, is dealing with assassinations during the 60s, is dealing with great political strife, is dealing with the fallout from Vietnam, exactly, right, yeah. And the fallout from his comments about being bigger than Jesus Christ. So those pop up at times, yeah, where his story, it's Mark David Chapman, we get to understand a little bit more as to how he came to that horrible decision.
Yeah, I'm not as interested in Chapman. And initially, there was more on Chapman in the book, and I cut a lot of it out and put in more about the Beatles. I'm doing nonfiction a little differently than it's generally done, because I just want to tell stories. It's more of a novelist approach. I did it with the Jeffrey Epstein book, Filthy Rich, which then became that Netflix series. I did it with House of Kennedys. It's just story after story after story after story, and tell it that way. It's not going to be everything, you know, a Churchill, you know, 1500 pages where you're going to know everything about Churchill, but you're going to get the story. And for a lot of people, that's a good way to deal with, or at least it's one way to deal with nonfiction. I wouldn't want all nonfiction to go this way, but I think it's useful.
James Patterson is our guest. This is a Northshire Bookstore off-the-shelf event, a Zoom conversation. And the name of the new book that we're discussing now is The Last Days of John Lennon. I also really enjoyed, what was the first foray into nonfiction for you? I really enjoyed the Aaron Hernandez book.
The first one was Filthy Rich.
Was Filthy Rich.
That was the Epstein. And one of the fascinating things there was the Netflix thing. I mean, you start looking at the way the world is changing. There was that documentary came on there. 100 million people saw that in the first 10 days. I mean, that's just in terms of the way the world is changing, whatever the heck is going on now. And the other curious thing about that book was I put it out in 2016. I knew it was an unbelievable story. I personally took it to CNN and Fox and all the networks, Wall Street Journal, and Wall Street Journal covered it, but nobody else would. They didn't see it as a big story. I'm going like, what are you kidding? 200 young girls, this guy gets off with 11 months, it's a billionaire, it's insanity. Me Too, it's the worst Me Too story of all of them. And it's an incredible story of injustice in the American so-called justice system. And then, you know, like 3 years later, for a variety of reasons, all of a sudden everybody's covering that story.
So let's talk about the other book, which is brand new, and that is Deadly Cross. That is the latest Alex Cross book. The murder of a glamorous DC socialite becomes Alex Cross's deadliest case since Along Came a Spider. It says that right on the front cover.
Oh my God, it must be true. Somebody dies in the book that you won't be expecting. I won't say who, and you can't, no matter what you say, I won't tell you.
Okay.
No.
But, well, I read it, so I know, but okay.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Did you cry? Some people shed a little tear, you know, whatever.
I'll shut up. Okay. But I have to ask you, you collaborate on many of your books. The Lennon book is a collaboration.
Yeah.
The Alex Cross books, you do not. What is the reason behind that?
I don't know. I started it that way, and I'd like to be able to write all of them by myself. I do all... 95% of the outlines, I do the whole outline. My outlines tend to be anywhere from 50 to 80 pages. Interestingly to me, where the style came from that I write now, when I was doing Along Came a Spider, I wrote like a 300 and some page outline. And when I read the outline, I went, this is the book. I mean, I elaborated a bit on it, but this is the book, the short chapters, the colloquial style of writing, the story, the simple storytelling. I went, this is different. I find it very readable. And Bruce Springsteen actually did something very similar for Nebraska, that album of his, where he had put down rough tracks on everything and he carried it around for about 9 months. And then he went, no, this is it. This is Nebraska. But that's where the style came from. It was that first and that very, you know, short chapters, get right to it, no messing around. And it goes into the last days of John Lennon and kind of anything, the kids' books, same thing. Yeah. Short, get to the point, tell the story. I try to pretend there's one person sitting across from me. I'm telling them a story and I don't want them to get up until I finished. And that, I guess that's probably the strength and the weakness of the books. I don't go off in these tangents. I won't do The Stand. I can't do a 1,000-page book.
I don't know how that could be a weakness if that's what you're comfortable writing.
It's a little bit of a weakness. I always have this theory, greatest strength is greatest weakness.
So when it comes to Alex Cross, this seems to be a character not only that you are fond of, but obviously readers are fond of. He's been with us for a very long time. What is it, do you think, about the character that has struck a chord with audiences and even with you that you want to
continue?
Well,
with me, I'm just not tired. I did two nights ago with Lee Child, one of these events. We were talking about Reacher and Cross, and he was talking about how he thinks it's a bad idea to fall in love with your main character. And I know what he's talking about because you have to have the, you know, some of the warts and some of the, Alex is bigger than life. And I know that every once in a while, somebody will go, well, this isn't very realistic. And I don't think that's valid criticism. I don't write realism. So you can say, I don't like it, but don't say it's not realistic because it's not supposed to be. That's like somebody looking at a Picasso and go, it's not very realistic. Really? I think that life in the inner city in Washington is very difficult. And so we're going to do sort of raise the stakes on that a little bit. I like the idea that Alex is a little bigger than life. The reason that Morgan Freeman wanted to play the part, he said, what I love about Alex is Alex solves things with his brain rather than brawn. I mean, obviously he can be tough when he has to be, but he does solve things with his head. And I really like that. I think the family is important to people, you know, Nana, Mama. I've had threats against my life. If I even hurt the cat, which actually the cat hasn't been in a few books and nobody's complained. So I'm shocked that people aren't asking about the cat and whether the cat is okay. I will tell you people the cat is okay. You know, but Nana and the kids keep growing. And I can relate to that because our son is now 23 and whatever. So, but I think you get attached to characters. And I mean, they've done studies where sometimes the brain can't separate between a family member and a character that you watch on television who you fall in love with over the course of a couple of years. And I think there's some truth to that. So I think a lot of people have a real connection to Cross in the family. And I do. And I'm still interested in him. And he keeps growing and changing. And one of the reasons I put him in Washington is a lot of stuff could believably happen there. It's an interesting city. It's a complicated city. It's got an inner city. It has the government. It's got wealth. It has the different, government agencies, the FBI, the DEA. They're all, you know, everything's there. I was really like people like Hellerman. And he's out there in New Mexico, and he's got this little town. I mean, eventually he'll have killed everybody in that town. You know, it's just this little town.
One by one, Tony Hellerman will do them in. Right. With that said, it is one of the things I like about Alex Cross is that this is a character who has been impacted. When we read this book, the damage, the scars of the previous cases are attached to this man. Sometimes in crime fiction, our hero seems to get showered up, washed off, cleansed of anything, and then you throw him into a new situation. Right. Alex is very much impacted by what he has seen in his years.
Yeah, and I think most cops are. And also I'm doing, which I think is, in my mind, the most important book I've ever done. It's a book coming out in February called Walk in My Combat Boots.
Yes.
And I'm doing it, it's nonfiction. I'm doing it with Matt Eversman. Matt was, you remember the movie Black Hawk Down? He was the actual sergeant. He then went on to, actually at Fort Drum, Army Ranger training and whatever. And I watched Matt do some interviews of soldiers. And a lot of us, like when my father came back from the war, he never would talk to us at all about what happened, ever. And I think a lot of people where the father or the mother or the brother or whatever, they just won't talk about it. But because Matt comes from it, and because he can ask the right questions and ask the right follow-up questions, they would talk to him. And I went to Matt and I said, I want to do a book. The concept is Walk in My Combat Boots. And we did a couple hundred interviews, and the interviews tend to be 30 or 40 pages. I then made them like 6-page stories, and they're so unbelievably intense. And we've had, several generals just go like, it's one of the most important books about war ever and what goes on over there. And what Matt and I wanted to do was, one, if you've been there, you'll say, these people got it right, especially from on the ground, the grunts, the people who are actually out there in the field. It's so true and so accurate. And it's the kind of stories that people never tell to their families. And then if you're one of these people that think you know about everything, but you know about nothing, you'll go, I had it all wrong about soldiers. Because a lot of people think that it's all these kids that just, they play video games and they want to go over and shoot people. It's not, even if it starts that way for some kids, by the time they go through basic training and write their death letter, they're, I think I'm going to die and I don't want to die. I want to protect these people around me, my brothers and sisters. And I've seen that the world is a lot bigger and more complicated than I thought it was back in Saratoga or Wyoming or whatever. I may like it or dislike it, but it's not what I thought it was. And it's a fascinating book, in my opinion. And everybody who's read it so far, it just blows your mind. The lawyer at Little Brown, we had her read about 12 chapters because she had to write releases for everybody in the book. And she said, I have no interest in soldiers. She said she read like 80 pages. It was riveting to her. And she said she cried like 3 times in the 80 pages. And that's the effect the thing has on people. You start a book and you have no idea. You know, initially a book like that, I'm going, I don't know. How are we going to make it interesting enough? How are we going to keep it interesting? So it's from story to story. But the stories are so different. And some are exhilarating and some are so sad. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm just so delighted. And that's nonfiction. I'm not doing one on nurses. Same basic principle. Whatever. Yeah.
That's the pipeline.
What got me off on that, but
that's the pipeline. So I find this interesting. James Patterson is our guest. You're listening to The Book Show. And let me just ask you, because the book you just mentioned is coming out in February. So when was that done? When did you complete that?
Not long ago.
Okay.
This has been quick, you know, boom, boom, boom. And because there's really no editing. You know, it's just, Here it is, folks. We went out, we got, General McChrystal did a great, and the quotes that we got, it's, you know, sometimes they do these sort of haphazard blurbs. These things are so emotional in terms of McChrystal, General McChrystal. I mean, he was like, you know, it's great. It's unbelievable. It's so true. I gave it to President Clinton. I didn't want a blurb, but he said, I have to do this. He said, he'd known so many soldiers, and he said, but he'd never really felt it the way he did with this book. So the whole process went, you know, very, very quickly. And then, you know, now we have a lot of people, you know, I don't know, Little Brown, and I'm sure they'll send it out for you guys to read the ARCs.
Yes, advanced reading copies. Yes, yeah. You said that very nicely about about President Clinton, also a co-author of yours.
Yeah, we actually have another book this year, The President's Daughter, and I liked, and once again, this is another one, you never know, I liked the way The President is Missing turned out, because what it was, I mean, it's an over-the-top story to some extent, but if that happened, it would happen this way. Okay. So, and he could supply information and reality that most thriller writers can't get. This is what would really happen if that happened. Here's what the Secret Service would actually do. And the same thing with The President's Daughter. which I think is actually a better book than The President Is Missing, I think. It's a president who he's left office and his daughter gets kidnapped. And it's very complicated in terms of what can happen. But if it happened, here's at any rate. So that's coming.
Does he write it?
He writes some.
He writes parts and sends them to you and you work together.
And I get to say, you know, Bill, it's not really that. No. Yeah, no, he's good. He's not as
veto power.
That's right. Yeah. And he goes like, you can't, you're going to end my stuff, jail. That's it, man. You can't say that to me.
Very
That's
nice.
Right. I'm the president.
Very nice. Nothing. And also I mentioned the third book is NYPD Red 6. This is the third book to come out in December. This'll be out. I've enjoyed this series. I have to tell you, so I'm reading through this and, there were six NYPD detectives working at the Department of Investigation. Any one of them could have helped us track down Banta, but when you're investigating an uninformed member of the FDNY, you want a detective that will ask very few questions. That was Joe Donahue. I'm a captain in a James Patterson book.
That's what we do. We try to keep.
I know. You make us happy. That's good.
Yeah.
These series, when you come up with a new series and you say, oh, well, this will be interesting, you have a marketing background. Do you think of it in those terms of, oh, okay, well, look,
I haven't explored this way? I probably can't help myself on some level, but the answer is no. What I try to do is, if I saw this book or read about this book, I would be interested in it. And it wouldn't be like, oh yeah, another whatever the heck, that there'd be something cool about it that would pull me in. And then I go, I think it would pull other people in as well. Like I thought John Lennon, I don't know, it's time. And I think a lot of people don't know the story. And I thought I could, once again, telling all of those things, the Beatles story, the murder story, the love story, I thought I could do something that would be somewhat unique. And I thought, I would like to read it, I thought. The Kennedy thing, same thing. I mean, there to me, that's America's royal family. That's America's crown. We have a pilot for hopefully a big, limited series thing. It was written by the woman who, Barbara Hall, who she was the showrunner on Madam Secretary. So it's good. It's cool. And I will say, I'm always
hopeful. Joan of Arcadia. She was also the showrunner of that.
Yeah.
Great show. Yeah. Great stuff. Well, the new books are, you got three of them, The Last Days of John Lennon, Deadly Cross, and NYPD Red 6. At least two of them are published by Little Brown. The paperback, which is NYPD Red 6, is out from Grand Central.
Yeah.
And Jim, it's great to talk to you. It's always very, very nice to speak with you. And I thank you very much for spending time with us.
I thank you, Joe. Good to talk to you again.
We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. This program was done in collaboration with Northshire Bookstore, northshire.com. Sarah LaDuke produces our program Bookmark Us for next week. And thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.